Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We'll read verse 26 through 32. God is speaking, but he says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I have commanded you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign, or the plain, I guess, over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Morah? For you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and you shall possess it and dwell therein. And you shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. But Lord, help us to understand it. And as the man said, and I often pray, "Lord," or "Sir," we would see Jesus. Help us to understand this Old Testament background and how it points to Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this passage I read, this is the first Bible reference to Gilgal, which we talked about last week. And in our study, this is part 22 of our look at John the Baptist. And as I mentioned last time, I spent several weeks, or actually about 2 months, playing old lessons, old sermons, as background. And we looked at Gilgal. We went through a few chapters of the book of 2 Kings, where it talks about Elijah and Elisha. We also looked at Numbers chapter 11 and the empowerment of the 70 elders of Israel to assist Moses. And in a few weeks, we'll get back to that. We could also have looked at King Saul. And as a matter of fact, he's next on my list. But he was called and empowered and given the gift of prophecy to help him in his ministry, and his ministry was to be king of all Israel. I've got old programs that I could have played, old lessons, what have you, and I didn't. But like I said, we will look at him next. But Gilgal, we talked about that last time, and I said that John the Baptist was baptizing in the River Jordan at Gilgal, and that's not quite correct. Gilgal was actually on the other side of the river from where he was baptizing. But as we read just a minute ago in Deuteronomy, God is telling Moses, who's telling the people, hey, we're going to go into the promised land. And we understand that they came from Egypt and they went around that mountain or whatever for 40 years. But instead of going directly north from Egypt into the land of Israel, they came around the other side. They came around from the east. And it mentions that, hey, the place where you're going, it's as the sun goes down. In other words, they were in, we call it Jordan today, but they were leaving, again, the nation of Jordan, which didn't exist, but that's where they were. And they were going to cross by going west through the Jordan. And we mentioned the 12 stones that, as they went crossing the Jordan, they took 12 stones from one side of the river and dropped them in halfway through or whatever. And they picked up 12 other stones and carried them out. They went from the east bank of the Jordan to the west bank, swapping stones, and they dropped their stones on the west bank. And I said that this was a momentous event. And the town Gilgal means rolled away. And we said that just as the children of Israel, the stain, the reproach of Egypt was rolled away at Gilgal. And today, as believers in Jesus Christ, as we come to him, he will roll away the stain, the reproach, the stink, if you will, of the world and our old ways and our old thoughts and our old lifestyle and all of the sin that we leave when we come to Christ. And I guess I'm preaching it again, but I want us to understand, because this relates directly to what John was doing when he was baptizing in the New Testament. And you can read a lot of that in Matthew chapter 3, and like I said, we'll get there. But Gilgal is on the wrong side of the river. Where John actually baptized was on the east bank, but Gilgal is on the west bank. But it's the nearest Old Testament town to where Joshua crossed over. And it's the nearest Old Testament town to where John was baptizing. And Jerusalem is on the west bank. They had to cross Jordan to get to John to be baptized. And then when they were done, they went back. I guess they waded across or whatever the case. They didn't have bridges back then. But they went back across Jordan and went back to Jerusalem or wherever they were from. But they had to pass that pile of stones or circle of stones or whatever it was at Gilgal. Again, coming from Jerusalem, Judea would have you, they went east, crossing the river, but they had to pass Gilgal. And after they were baptized, then they went back and they passed Gilgal again. We'll take a closer look, and another look, I suppose, at Elijah and Elisha. They too went back across, back and forth, to Jordan. They went from Gilgal and crossed the Jordan and went to where Joshua encamped, and then they picked up those stones and whatever. But you'll see many times that the things in the New Testament were foreshadowed in the Old. Again, you've got the same kind of event happening in the Old Testament and in the New. And in fact, here we have Joshua crossing the Jordan and going to Gilgal. Then Elijah and Elisha, they go back and forth from Gilgal, back and forth across the river. And then John, when he baptizes, they go back and forth across the river. And it does not say specifically in the record in the New Testament, Gilgal, but I am certain that that was the spot. That John, when he began to baptize, I'm certain that it was where Joshua led the children of Israel across Jordan, or through Jordan. I'm certain of it. We read last time John chapter 10, and in the middle of this drama that Jesus had with the Pharisees and whatever, but it says he left the argument, Jesus did, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode. So when Christ was first baptized in chapter 1 of John, he had to go across the river and then back again. And then here in John chapter 10, 9 chapters later, some time later, however long it was, he went again across the river to the spot where John was first baptizing. And he stayed there a while and presumably came back across. So you've got this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth from one side of the Jordan to the other, at the place where Joshua and all the nation of Israel crossed. Again, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, if God says something, he probably means it. If he says something again, he probably really means it. You know, God gave Moses the law once. And we can read of that in Exodus and maybe a little bit in Leviticus. But then later on, he gives it again in Deuteronomy. But you've got four times that it's mentioned that people go back and forth across, crossing the River Jordan, and either at specifically or passing near Gilgal. Again, this is an important thing, and when God says something four times, it's probably important. But John chapter 1, verse 28, it says that these things of the baptism of John was done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now there's an argument about exactly what town it was. In King James and others, it says Bethabara beyond Jordan. And in fact, that word means a crossing place, or a ford, or where they crossed the River Jordan. And again, I'm certain, it doesn't spell it out exactly, but I am certain that John was baptizing where God had Joshua gather and cross over. In some Bibles, New American Standard, NIV, what have you, there's an argument about what town, and it says Bethany beyond Jordan. There's, again, some argument in the Greek text. But there is a town on the far side of Jordan, on the east bank. In Arabic, it's Al-Magats, or I can't pronounce Arabic, sorry. But it means immersion or baptism. And scholars think, and I think, that it's a traditional site. It's just a site that tradition says something happened. If you go to Israel, and I have not, but if you go to Israel, every 15 feet, there's somebody saying, hey, you know, Jesus did this, or Moses did that, or David did that here at this spot, and hey, we want a donation, and hey, buy a trinket. There's a church, there's a memorial, there's a shrine. It's all over the place. I don't know any different. You don't know any different. Oh, look, that's the place that such and so happened. And we believe it. But it's a traditional thing. Tradition says, and you know, tradition often is in conflict between one church, the Roman Catholic Church, let's say, and the Greek Orthodox Church. They don't agree as to what tradition, and honestly, it's all just made up. And I'm not trying to be rude, but many times the things that you will find that it said that this or that happened, it probably didn't happen there or that way. And please don't get mad at me. I'm just giving my opinion. So Al-Magats, though it means immersion, I don't know that it's legit. But I want to draw your attention to something else. In John chapter 3, it says that John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. He started at one place further down the river, closer to the Dead Sea, but then later on he went a little bit north and baptized again, or in a different place. And we think that his ministry lasted, let's say, 6 months. But I mentioned Elijah and Elisha. And again, I played old sermons from a few years back. But if you look at Elijah and Elisha, the two prophets, and they overlapped, and actually one was a mentor to the other, if you look at that story, or that chronology, or whatever word, the record of the things that they did. But both of these men picture the gospel. Elijah, the Old Testament prophet, is a type or foreshadowing of Christ, and he lived under the Old Covenant. Now, Elisha, too, we can read about him in the Old Testament, but follow me just a little bit. We understand what a type is. I talk about it incessantly. It's something in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New. But Elijah and his ministry and his person foreshadows Christ. The fording of Jordan, or the crossing of Jordan, which we talked about, tells of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Again, he went through the water, came out the other side. It's a picture of baptism that we do today, and that's what we teach. That baptism is a symbol of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Well, his going back and forth through the Jordan, it speaks of Christ. Later on, he went to heaven. He went to heaven in a fiery chariot. That speaks of Christ's ascension, that he went to heaven. I mean, it's obvious that the man was miraculously taken to heaven from earth in a chariot. It foreshadows Christ going back to heaven. But on his way up, he had a mantle or a prayer shawl or some kind of cloak or whatever. And as he was going up, his mantle, his cloak, fell back to earth. And Elisha, his protege, picked it up and put it on his back. And that is a type of Pentecost that foreshadows the Spirit coming from heaven. As Christ went up, we know that not many days after that, the Spirit fell. Acts chapter 2, when the feast of Pentecost was fully come. Elijah, he did 7 miracles, but Elisha did 14 miraculous things. And one of his miracles, he was on the wrong side of Jordan. He was on the east bank. But he said, I'm going to go back across toward Gilgal, west. And as he got to the river, he took his cloak, his mantle, that fell from heaven, and he kind of twisted it up and hit the water. And the water rolled back. The river stood up and fled away, and he walked again on dry land. Again, the mantle falling from heaven is a picture of the power of the Spirit. And by the power of the Spirit, Elisha starts performing miracles. And we understand that the apostles, yes, we can read in Luke chapter 9 and chapter 10, the 12 and the 70, they were given power as they helped Christ preach the word of God. They went into all these cities of Israel, what have you. They had the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to perform miracles. But when the Spirit of God fell from heaven on the day of Pentecost, Christ's mantle rested upon them. And we can read in the book of Acts all the miracles that they did. They healed the sick, they raised the dead, they did all of these things. Not by their own power, but by the power of Christ's Spirit. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh yeah, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. We work for him in his power, by his Spirit. And that empowerment fell from heaven on the day of Pentecost. And that event, Pentecost, was foreshadowed, like I said, by Elijah's mantle that fell from heaven. And Elisha, the protege, picked it up and walked in that power. Elijah is a type of Christ. Elisha is a type of the church. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Again, we preach the gospel in the power of the Spirit. Or we should. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.